today we're going to kick off the third part of this series. We've been in the series we call 3-in-1. It's all 3-in-1. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We finished up the first part of this series talking about who Jesus was. We've been talking about the last several weeks on the Holy Spirit, and it is changing our life. The more we understand who the Holy Spirit is in our life, the more it changes us. And it's important that we understand that all three work together. Now, it's impossible for us to say, I believe in Jesus, I believe in the Father, but I don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Because all three, it's either all three are true or all three are false. And so today we believe that all three stand alone and function in our lives, but all three work together in harmony in the heart of every believer. And so we've been talking about these roles, why they're there, who the Holy Spirit is, who the Son is. Now today we're going to talk about something that we call God the Father, or as I like, you know, to call it short term, is, who's your daddy. All right. So we're going to talk about who's your daddy. God the Father today. We're going to talk about God the Father. How many know that as we grow in our understanding of the Father, the more closer I grow in my relationship? I've got to have an understanding of who He is. It's one thing to say, I believe in you. It's another thing to understand why. Another thing to understand who He really is in His heart for us, His heart for every believer, what he wants to give to us, what He wants us to experience in Him. The more we understand, the more deeper our relationship flows from Him. See, many times we let our view of our earthly fathers affect our view of our heavenly Father. And today, for many of you here, you were raised, either you didn't know who your dad was, or you were raised with an absentee dad who was in and out of your life, maybe didn't show up when he promised to pick you up, maybe broke a lot of promises, maybe you had an abusive father. And in those cases, I say to you, don't allow your negative view of your father here on earth to stop you from understanding how much God really, really loves you. Let me put it to you this way. Our heavenly Father, He's not a deadbeat dad. He's not a deadbeat dad. He said, I would never leave you. I would never forsake you. He said, yo, I'm with you always. He's with us today, and He's not a deadbeat dad. And so we got to take away, if we're not careful, we limit who the Heavenly Father is in our life based off of our personal experience. Some of you here, you had great dads. But even in itself, those dads were limited, you know, in how much they could really love you and how much they can really do good for you. You know, and sometimes, even though we grew up with great fathers, maybe your view of the Heavenly Father growing up was, well, God's waiting for me to mess up. And as soon as I mess up, bam, He's going to hit me in the head or something, you know. He's waiting to punish me for anything I do wrong. And so, therefore, we raise up with a fear of God. There's nothing wrong with fearing Him and reverence all of who He is, but He doesn't want you to fear Him. He wants you to experience how much He really loves you. He wants you to experience how deep His love is for you today. And today I want to talk to you about the Father is so good. He is good. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Father is good. Now, today I want you to get this in your heart. The Father is good. We use this word good to describe a lot of things. We talk about goodness and we talk about God. We use good so flippantly, you know. Oh, that restaurant was good. Oh, that movie was so good. Oh, that smells so good. We use the word good so much that if you're not careful, we even use the word God is good so much. You know, God is good. God is good all the time. God's good. God's good. And we say it out so nonchalantly sometimes that I wonder if we really understand what we're saying. To the point where we become numb to how good God really is. Because what I want to tell you today is God is so good that it will blow your mind when you understand how good. I will tell you this, your mind cannot absorb, your mind cannot compute how good God really, really is to us. We can't figure it out. So just to describe it on our terms, God is good. It really is does no justice to how good God really is, because we really can't comprehend how good He is. But I pray today as we unpack the scripture and we look and we understand how much God really loves us, how good He really is to us, that you have a new understanding. Psalms 119, verse 68, David talked about God as this, God, You are good. And what You do is good. You are good and what You do is good. Teach me Your decrees. See, I believe today that the number one attribute of our Father is His goodness. The number one characteristic, the number one attribute of our Father is His goodness. And if you don't catch this, it's going to mess with your mind. If you don't get this and grab it into your heart today, you'll never experience the deep level of relationship He wants every one of us to have when you really understand the depth of His goodness for every one of us. I'm telling you, it's going to blow your mind when you understand how good the Father really is to you and I. And how much He really loves us. We see today that, number one, I want you to write this down. Number one, the Father is, number one, completely good. The Father is completely good. He is 100% good. He's not partially good. I'm partially good. I'm limited. You're partially good. We're limited on how much goodness, even though we want to be good to our children and we have the best maybe in mind for them, we're still limited on how much goodness we have to good. But our Father, He is not limited like we're limited. He is 100% completely good. I mean, everything about Him is good. And if you don't get that today, you're missing who He is. You're missing the heart of the Father. He is completely good. I love the story of Moses talking about his encounter with God. And we see this playing out in the book of Exodus where Moses is like, God, can you just give me a glimpse of who you really are? He said, God, can you show me your glory? Remember him asking that? He said, God, show me your glory. And God's like, all right, Moses, I'll show you a little bit of who I am. And he wanted to show him who he really was. No. See, when someone asks you, what's their glory? It's really what they're asking is, what are you known for? You know, if I ask you what LeBron James is known for, what is he known for? Basketball, right? Well, if I ask you, what is Adele known for? You'd say, her beautiful voice, yeah, her music. If I ask you what Denzel Washington is known for, his movies. I mean, when someone's glory, what are they really famous for? What are they really known for? This is what Moses was asking. He said, show me who you really are. Show me what you're all about. And he asked God to show him who he really was. It's a really cool story. Look at this in Exodus 33, verses 18 and 19. And he said, please show me your glory. And then God responded, I will make all my goodness. He said, what? I will make all my, let's say it together, my goodness. Let's say it one more time. My goodness. This is what God said. I will make all my goodness pass before you. Hey, God, show me what you're known for. And now God's telling him what he's known for. And this is what you're going to experience. My goodness is going to pass before you. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious. Man, to whom I will be gracious. And I will have compassion. On whom I will have compassion. See, God was saying to Moses, he goes, you can't even handle this. Remember what he said to him? Hey, he put him in the cleft of the rock. He says, you can't handle this. When I pass by, I'm going to put my hand in front of your face. But just to show you a glimpse, just a small glimpse of who I am, after I pass you, I will drop my hand and you'll get a glimpse from me from behind. What was he saying? He was saying this. First of all, he says, I'm going to show you my goodness, but you can't handle this. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can't handle the truth. We can't handle just how good God is. Our mind can't handle it. Our mind can't compute it. Our heart, we can't understand it. How good God really is. He told Moses, I'm going to put my hand over your face, and my goodness is going to pass before you, and I'm going to drop my hand the last moment, and you'll see just a glimpse of me, and you're going to experience all of my goodness. Man, all of my mercy. He was saying this, our minds cannot absorb. My mind cannot compute. We can't absorb how good God is. He goes, it's impossible. Our human mind, we can't absorb just how good God really is. The goodness of our God. Now look how the story unfolds in chapter 34, verse 6. It's talking about the story. Then God passes by before him. He proclaimed the Lord God of merciful and gracious, long-suffering. And what's it say? God says, I am abounding in goodness and truth. Everybody say abounding. He's just not good. He says, I'm abounding in goodness. I'm abounding in good. I am, it's running over in me. It's everything I am. I am abounding in goodness. I want you to know, our Heavenly Father is abounding in goodness for you and I. He is wanting to show us mercy. He's wanting to show us kindness. He's wanting to show us justice. And he's done that through his son, Jesus. But he says, I got so much goodness I want to show you. He goes, but you can't even understand. You can't even begin to compute how much I really, really have good intent for you. It's who I am. It's in every fiber of who he is. God's goodness. We say this word a lot. God is infinite without limits. We use the word like omni to describe God. And I'll talk about that in a couple of Sundays, how he is omni, which simply means he is all-knowing. He is all-present. He has all knowledge. He is all-presence. We know this, that this is the omni. He's not limited to our surroundings. He's not limited by our boundaries, but he's everywhere. He has all understanding, all power. He's an infinite God. He's without limits. He's an omni God. He's without limits. What does that mean? That means that his goodness is without limits. His goodness is without limits. God is an omni God. He's an infinite God. Everything about him is good, and there's no limits to his goodness. It's just abounding. It's overflowing in who he is. I want you to stop viewing God in a negative way. Stop limiting him to the negative mindsets you have. That God, you're up there just to pounce on me or just to correct me or bring judgment to me. No, God is there to bring goodness and mercy to your life. Stop limiting him by any past experiences and realize he is abounding in goodness and he wants to give you and I that goodness. See, Satan is called the author of confusion. The father of lies. And what Satan does is this. He causes bad things to happen with bad people. And then he turns around and gets into your mind and says, see, if God was really good, why would he allow that bad thing to happen? And he wants to mess with your mind. Satan wants to mess with your mind and your thoughts. He wants you not to understand how good God really is. That's what he does. You gotta reject that when that's coming. No, our Father is good. Every good thing comes from the Father. Everything God has is good. Everything for me is good. God wants to give me the best. God wants to give me the best for my life. God's got nothing but good intent for my life. And he wants me to walk in that goodness every day. You got to realize that. It's just who he is. He just can't help it. He wants to be good to his children. He wants to show his goodness to you and I. He wants you to be abound in his goodness. He wants you to abide in his goodness. He wants you to be overwhelmed with his goodness. Number two, write this down. We were created because the Father is good. We were created because the Father is good. James 1:17 and verse 18. Don't be deceived, man. He says, hey guys, listen, don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. My brothers and sisters, he says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Now, first of all, we know that every good thing comes from the Father. But more importantly, look what he says here. He says, we're like the first fruits. Now, looking around this room today, I see a bunch of fruits. A few nuts sprinkled in. Some of us, we're all, you know, but you realize they were all first fruits according to God's word. And what does that mean? Because you look back at first fruits, when the Bible talks about first fruits, it is talking and teaching us about bringing God the very best that we have. Remember Cain and Abel? He said, bring your very best of your harvest. Bring the very best of your flocks. This is the first fruits offering. And we see the first fruits in the scripture align with the very best. Bring your first fruits. Bring the very best that you had. So when the Bible says that we are our first fruits of God's creation, what he's saying is this, that God says this, you are the very best of the thing I created. You're the very best. You see, he sees the value in us as the very best of his creation. He says that we are the first fruits. I value you. There's value in you. So why doesn't God destroy us when we mess up? Because he's just that good. Why did he send his only son to die for you and me? I couldn't do that. I love you. I would give my own life for many people in this room. I would give my life for you. But I'm not giving one of my kids up for you. Sorry. I can't do it. How could God do that? How could God send his only son? Because he's that good. Why would his only son die for you and me? That while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Why? Because he is that good. Our mind can't comprehend that. Our mind will never be able to understand it fully. All I want you to know today, He is that good. That He loved us so while we were yet sinners. He gave His only Son for you and I. We can't comprehend that, but He is so good. He can. We can't comprehend His goodness. I love this story in the first chapter of Genesis. We've been reading a lot about that in our Genesis Bible study the last couple of weeks. And I love this in the verses 1 through 4. Then we'll skip around to a few verses here. But I want you just to see the goodness of God. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was all over the surface of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. Now, verse 10 says, God called out the dry ground, land, and He gathered waters, and He called it seas. And He stops, and He pauses, and He looks back at what He created, and what did He say? God saw it, and it was good. He said, look at that. That's good. I created that. That's good. Look what verse 12 says. Verse 12 says, and the land produced vegetation. The plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and the trees bearing fruit with seed in it. I mean, think about it. According to their kind. And God stops and says, see that seed right there? That's going to grow to be a full tree. It's going to give out multiple fruit. It's people going to eat, being nourished. Man, they're going to love this thing. This is awesome. God's like, that's good. That's good. Little seed, much fruit. That's great. You see these plants, one seed, multiple plants. See the vegetation, see the greenery, see the decoration. Oh, that is good. God stopped and saw it, and it was good. Verses 17 and 18, God set them to the vault of the sky to give light to the earth, to govern the day and the night. He's talking about the moons and the sun, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God stops and looks at it and goes, oh, that's good. Look at that sun. Look at that moon. Oh, that's good. God said, that's good. Look what the next verse says here. He goes on. He says, so God created the great creatures of the sea, every living thing which the water teams and that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to the sky. God's looking at it and says, see all those things in the sea that are swimming around? Yeah, He goes, that's good. See those birds flying? They'll never figure that one out, but I'll tell you this right now, that is good. That is good. God saw it, and it was good. Verse 25, God made the wild animals according to their kinds. He made the livestock, and He according to their kinds. Turn to your neighbor and say, move over. All right. He made the livestock and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. God stops and looks at all those creatures and all those animals. He says, that is good. God saw it, and it was good. Look at verse 31. God saw how much? All. Everybody say all. God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. Why was everything God created deemed to be very good? Because everything God creates is a reflection of who He is. Are you getting this today? Everything God created, He stopped and said, oh, that's good. Why? Because it's a reflection of who He is, and He is good. His goodness abounds, and we can't even comprehend it. We can't understand it. I don't understand how one seed goes in the ground, it gets fertilized, and all of a sudden it brings up a whole harvest of fruit, a whole harvest of plants, and bring all the vegetation we need. It doesn't make sense to me. I can't understand that. But God can. He's that good. I can't understand how those things in the water, and I fish for them. I can't catch them, but they're swimming. And they don't need they get oxygen through a different way, and they can be underwater. They can't come out, but I can't go in. It's weird to me how they breathe underwater. I can't breathe underwater. They can't breathe on land, but I can breathe. I can't understand why that happens, but God can. He's that good. I can't understand how birds can fly thousands of miles without stopping. Why? I can't understand that, but God can. He's that good. See, everything He creates is a reflection of His goodness. We can't comprehend it, but God can. He's that good. What did God create that He said was not good? Anybody remember what God created that He said wasn't good? There was one thing He said that wasn't good. He created man, and He looked down at man in the garden. He must have saw Adam running through the garden with some scissors or something. He's like, this is not good. this is not good. The man's alone. I can't leave him by himself. This is not good. He's going to hurt something. All right. He put Adam asleep. He took him out of his side. He created the woman. And then he said, I woke him up and said, this is the woman I made. And to her, he said, she was very good. All the guys said amen to that this morning. All right, come on now. He said, she was very good. When God created us, he says, it was good. It was very good. Why? Because we're a reflection of his goodness. And today, you know, the amazing thing was that Adam and Eve, man, they only had one thing. One thing. I mean, one bad choice. God says you can have all these other choices. Just stay away from this one thing. And they chose the one thing. I mean, how many of us have done the same crazy, stupid things? We have all these great choices, and we'll end up doing the one bad thing we should do. I mean, come on. You know, and when this happened, it says that it brought and separated Adam and Eve from the relationship God had originally intended. They messed it up for us. But the great news is this, that he sent Jesus Christ, his son. And this is a cool scripture. Bring this scripture up in 2 Corinthians. It says that, therefore, if anyone who is in Christ, if you've accepted his son Jesus, he is a what? New creation. Remember what God creates? Reflects his good. He says it is good. So God looks at us now. It says, if you accepted Jesus Christ, if you accepted what my son did on the cross for you, he looks at us now and says, you're a new creation. You're good. You're good. You're good. He looks at us and he says, he makes you, all things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. As we reflect who the goodness of our Father. Number three, write this down. We must choose. We must choose. Everybody say choose. We must choose it now. The Father's goodness. You got to choose the Father's goodness. It comes through a choice. We have a choice to receive it or don't receive it. Look at Romans 11:22. It points us out for us. Therefore, consider. Now, this word consider, the way it's translated here is the word choose. We would use in our common language as choose. So let's change that word to choose. Therefore, choose. Consider which one? Choose the goodness and the severity of God. And those who fail, the 70, but toward you, goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you'll be cut off. So he says this, you can either walk, you can walk severed from God, or you can choose to walk in the goodness of God. It's a choice we have. And so why not say, God, I'm going to choose to walk in the goodness of the Father. I'm going to choose to walk in the goodness of who you are. I'm going to choose to walk in the fullness of knowing God, you are good and you've got good things for my life. See, stop looking for goodness in everyone else. See, we'll do that and we'll look, we'll think, if I get married to this person, I'll be fulfilled. If I get this job, I'll be fulfilled. If I get this promotion, if I can live in this kind of house, if I can have this kind of family, all these things we keep telling ourselves will fulfill us. But the only way to truly be fulfilled is to really let the Father's goodness overwhelm your life. But you got to choose that. God, I choose to believe in your son, Jesus, that I can become a new creation. Many of you done that. Now you got to choose. Say, now I'm going to walk in the goodness of the Father. I'm going to walk under the umbrella. I'm going to get myself under God's goodness. And allow it to control your life. Allow it to overflow in your life. Allow it to flood your mind. Allow it to flood your spirit. Allow it to overtake you. That God loves you and he has good things intended for you. He has not forsaken you. He has not left you. Just get back and say, God, I want to experience your goodness. You'll never experience that goodness on your own, trying to reach it on your own, trying to find it in somebody else. No, when you find it in the Heavenly Father, his goodness will flood your life. His goodness will flood your life. And you can walk under that umbrella of God's goodness. We must choose it, though. He's not going to force it on us. We must choose it. Look what Matthew 7:11 says. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give what? Good gifts to those who ask him. I mean, I've never met any parent who didn't want to do good, at least wish that they could at least do good for their children. We want to. That's just who we are. We naturally want to do good for our children. We want them to have better things than we have. We want them to do better, achieve more than what we achieve. We would do anything for our kids. That's who we are. And God says, but we're evil and we have the desire. Think about how good he is and how his desire is to do good for us. He's like, you can't understand it. We can't comprehend it. He goes, we can't compute it. He really wants to show us his goodness on another level. He wants us to be overwhelmed with his goodness. There's a story a missionary wrote. Her name was Amy Wilson Carmichael, and she wrote this story about her time as a missionary. And she said, as a young child, that she was the only girl on her block who had brown eyes. Everybody else had blue eyes. And so as a young girl, she'd pray, God, make my eyes turn blue. Make my eyes turn blue. I want to fit in with all the other girls, and this is not fair. And she said she would cry at night, and she just, you know, as any young child has gone through those things, God, make me taller, make me shorter, change my hair color, all these things. She was just like, you know, God, change the color of my eyes. And she remembers praying that prayer. And then fast forward now as an adult, she became a missionary to India. And while she was there as a missionary to India, she discovered the sex trafficking that was going on, and they were taking young girls and bringing them in sex slaves into the palace. And so she had an inroad into the palace. And so she had a contact inside the palace, and then she had contacts, and they had some of these safe homes. And she would sneak in and bring out these girls one by one. She would sneak in and sneak them out and bring them out and get them to the safe house and get them to escape that being a sex slave there in the palace. And so one day she said, God showed me inside how I could sneak in and sneak out. And he put her in contact with the right person. And she took the coffee grounds, and she began to rub coffee grounds on her arms and her face, and it would darken her skin up. And then she would be able to sneak in and not be noticed standing out as a person who wasn't as dark as everybody else. And she was able to bring out and smuggle out hundreds of girls, brought them back out. And one day she was rubbing those coffee grounds in, and she looked in the mirror and she saw her brown eyes. And she thought, you know, every woman from India has brown eyes. God, thank you that you made my eyes brown. You're so good. You knew in advance exactly what I would need when I needed it. You know, and for many of us here in this room, I'm going to ask the musicians to come. For many of us in this room, we need to stop and pause and think, God, what did you do in my life when I thought I needed something and you took me a different direction? And you can look back now 10 years later, 20 years later, you look back and say, God, you're so good. You're so good. You didn't give me what I wanted. You gave me what I needed. And you did this in my life. And you experience this goodness on such a different level. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I've never experienced God's goodness. First and foremost, I need to just simply ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. I've never prayed that prayer. And today, I just realized, man, I'm searching for the wrong thing. I need to put Jesus first in my life. I need to ask Jesus to be Lord of my life. We won't do anything to single you out. We're not going to do anything to embarrass you. I promise you that. And nobody's looking right now but me. But if you're here this morning and say, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Could you just raise your hand where you're at where I can see it? Nobody else? Can you raise it? Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Anybody else want to join us? Thank you, guys. Anybody else want to join? If you haven't raised it right now. Say, Pastor, that's me. I'm ready to accept Jesus. And thank you. I see those hands. Put your hands down if you raised them. I'm going to ask this one more time. I want to make sure you had a chance to respond. Don't wait. Today's your day, okay? And I'm telling you, today's your day. God sent you here today to hear this message, how much he really loves you. If you're here this morning, you haven't responded yet, and say, I'm ready to accept Jesus, can you just raise your hand where, where you're at? I can see it. Thank you. Yeah, thanks, guys. I see that. Okay, we're going to do this together. For those of you who raised your hands, I want you to say this prayer out loud. As Christians around you, we're going to say it out loud with you to help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I surrender all of my life to you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live my life for you. I will follow after you in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome to the family of God. Come on, give me a hand. That's a big thing. It's a big deal. This is why we're here today. This is why we're here today. We're celebrating when people make a decision. They give their heart to Jesus. Now, I'm going to invite you today, if you made that prayer personal to your life and you accepted Jesus, before you leave today, when we dismiss, our welcome center will be open. We have a free Bible we'd love to give you. Inside that Bible, it's got some information we want you to have on next steps. But you got to be plugged into a home church, okay? If you have a home church, go back and tell that pastor, man, tell somebody, I gave my life to Jesus. If you don't have a home church, get connected here or somewhere. Get connected. You got to be around people who can uplift you on your new decision to be a Christ follower. As you stand on your feet this morning, how many people will say, Pastor, I want to experience the goodness of God in such a deeper level in my life. You're speaking right to me. I need to take off the limits. I need to experience God's goodness to me. Not based on what I experienced growing up, but I want to experience the fullness of God's goodness. Anybody want to raise your hands? That's me. Yeah, see, several of us. It's okay. It's all right. God has got something for you this morning. He's got you here to experience His goodness. I want you to sing this song about our good Father this morning. I want you to make it a personal prayer. Say, God, I love you. He's such a good, good Father. Close out today. Father, I thank you, Lord, that as we open up our hands to you, as I say, God, we surrender all of our life to you. I pray to Father this morning that you just allow your goodness just to flood the heart of every person in this room today. God, may your goodness, Lord, just be poured out into every life here today, every mind, every spirit. God, may they we have just understanding today. God, you are so good. God, you are so good. And God, your goodness is spilling out to us today. It's pouring out to us today. Your goodness, God. We're going to walk out of here changed. Walk out of here refreshed. Walk out of here empowered. Knowing that God, you are so good. And you have good things for us. And we can walk in that relationship with the Father. Who's a good, good Father. In Jesus' name we pray. We say, amen. Come on, give God a hand clap this morning. One more time. Listen to me today. I love you. Thank you so much for being here. Don't mess next week, okay? Part two of this part of talking about the Father. God bless you. We love you.